Okay, right now we have world record.
This one's insane.
I'll be in the next room watching Pokemon.
Why?
I could have said something else. Yu-Gi-Oh. Dragon Ball Z.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah. Sadly.
But, I mean, again, you know, this goes back to the question I was asking about, you know, people who are, you know, distressed emotionally, they're more attuned to the idea that this isn't real, this isn't, you know, and, you know, this guy is kind of like the exact opposite. He's, you know, overly confident and obviously not.
Well, it's the physical assertion on him.
The physical distressment.
That opens his mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or opens himself up to it, and he discovers the Matrix.
Well, it's acknowledged in this short that he really shouldn't have been... He really shouldn't have been... He wasn't meant to. This particular character wasn't meant to know anything about it.
None of them are. None of the ones who are trapped in the Matrix obviously are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's left sort of open ended at the end whether he. I love this character. It reminds me of Brad Pitt in 12 Monkeys. Just absolutely insane. I think that was sort of the influence too.
You know, these some of these guys, they look like agents. Are they actually supposed to be agents, the guys that are wearing the trench coats?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's probably the most distinctive original agent, you know, portrayal I've seen out of all these.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I wonder if this animation style has a particular name.
I don't know. I mean...
It was obviously distinctive. It kind of reminds me of the animation Kid's Story, but not, you know, not quite.
Mm-hmm.
With the exaggerated movements.
Madhouse Studios in Tokyo did the animation for this and Program. It's written by the same guy who did Program. So, directed by one of his apprentices, I believe, or one of his co-workers. It's also kind of open-ended as to whether he realizes going into this race, he knows about the Matrix going into this race and wants to push himself further to try to escape it.
Had to hurt, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling a muscle and then some.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
it's not a, not a pretty mugshot.
This all works extremely well in animation, but it would be profoundly interesting to see what it would have been like in had it been done realistically.
It'd be very difficult and probably very out there.
Yeah.
Much as I'm sure it was here.
Well, so much can be, a lot can be accomplished now, you know, realistically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, you know, it'd be, but that's what that's what the movies have always been, is, you know, they've been very much influenced by anime and therefore meant to be perceived as live action anime.
Yeah.
So again, you know, seeing this live action would be pretty interesting. Probably a lot more disturbing, anyway.
Yeah, I think it was good to an interesting idea to explore somebody being able to just kind of wake up on their own. You know,
yeah.
And the causes that would lead to that, you know, the, how that would happen. That was a very interesting idea. I mean, which just goes to show. I mean, all these just go to show, you know, how rich the world was and how much they didn't show, you know, for the three movies.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I really wanted to touch on in the next one.
Yes.
That's coming up. Actually, I mean, that's one of the things that I really feel like this is the best property as far as The Matrix goes, as far as the best project, because of the fact that it's the most, I think it's deeper than any of the movies ever really dared to go.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you tried to make the movies along the same depth that they did the Animatrix, well, you're probably looking at, like, well, something that'll puzzle people along the lines of 2001, which... No, like I said, was intentionally left open ended. Now, after Kid's Story and the Second Renaissance, this is probably my third favorite Animatrix segment, because I really think it explores pretty decently one of the ideas hinted at in Reloaded, the idea of the Matrix anomalies within the Matrix,
right,
manifesting themselves into things that we come to be familiar with as werewolves, and vampires, and ghosts, and in this case, a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty interesting, pretty lyrical, actually, the way they look at this. It's something that I think really strives for an emotional reaction from the viewer, and I think it achieved, at least for me, achieved it, but...
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, who remembers, you know, seeing Reloaded in the theaters and hearing other people snicker when the Oracle was talking about the idea of, you know, werewolves and vampires and everything and how ridiculous it sounded.
Well, I mean, they were metaphorical. I mean, you know, when you think about the Burly Brawl and, you know, what is Agent Smith but a vampire now, basically infecting people with his disease, his virus. You know,
that didn't seem to come across as clearly in the movie.
That's because they didn't explore it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they introduced the idea and then they just sort of let it go by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. Probably one of the reasons why, you know, it came across as unintentionally funny in the movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of the best in these book series, you know, like Harry Potter or like Wheel of Time. I don't know if you guys probably are pretty familiar with Wheel of Time, but they have a, you know, they take real world stuff, you know, and then kind of reference it back to their to the fantasy world, and you know, kind of explain things.
Yeah,
that are in the real world, that they're in the real world unexplainable in their fantasy world, like, you know, like deja vu from the first Matrix. You know,
yeah.
You know, that's a good example. And so, I like how they do that here.
Yeah.
Voice work from that little kid sounds familiar. It seems as if a lot of people who have done, you know, professional voiceovers, you know,
yeah,
a lot of professional voiceover actors have contributed to this.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, you know, I mean, you know, you look at some of the names in the credits, and I'm sure you'll find some, like John DiMaggio. Who you'll recognize from other ones, even if you don't recognize the voice. But yeah, there's a certain amount of poetry to the images we see in this one that I really just love. You know. Some really fascinating ideas.
Now the shorts that the Wachowski brothers were not directly linked to, I mean, how much influence did they have over them?
I think they...
I mean, the ones that they
don't...
I can't
remember. I think they presented treatments to some of the filmmakers on stories, but I think they kind of gave them a certain degree of free rein. Not complete control.
By treatments, you mean outlines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basic outlines as far as the stories and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I believe that was the case. And I can't remember how much each director got, but I know most of it was considerably more than what they're used to. So.
That's a neat trick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's also, this is also something that was hinted at with Neo in the end of the first movie. The idea that he would be able to bend the Matrix to...
manipulate his own environment.
Yeah. Basically control the Matrix himself. And it's something that kind of didn't happen.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, basically that... It almost seemed like they just used that to explain his ability to fly, you know.
Yeah.
And then that's just kind of... if, you know, or pull objects to them, but that's only, you know, the tip of the iceberg as far as what they could have done.
He's doing the Superman thing again. That's...
yeah.
Goes without saying. It's the game, whoever can make their nose bleed, or...
I think who can get to the closest to the ground without hitting it.
Games I, but as games a, I used to play, my friends.
I mean, as a computer programmer, I can appreciate that, you know, large programs are going to have errors.
Well, that's what this quote unquote haunted house is one big computer error.
Mm-hmm.
Which the idea of that is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Just the concept. Did John Woo direct this?
No, but it certainly looks that way, doesn't it?
We got the slow motion with the doves.
Yep, very John Woo.
I shouldn't have smoked that joint before I came here. There's going to be a ride in Disneyland soon, I think, where you can be completely weightless.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like one of those NASA simulation training.
Hmm.
Of course, who would have thought I would have brought up Disney watching one of these? Although anime has had some influence on some recent Disney movies.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the style.
Yeah. I mean, Miyazaki has always been considered a big influence. And
he's recently made he hasn't made a deal with Disney as much as it was with Pixar. Yeah.
No, it was actually with Disney.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Miramax is owned by Disney. They released Princess Mononoke. Disney released
Spirited Away.
Well, Spirited Away, but also Kiki's Delivery Service.
This is a great movie.
And Castle in the Sky, and which I still haven't seen that one, and I still haven't gotten.
I was so glad I got to experience Spirited Away though in the theaters. Though that was so great to be able to do that. It's so exciting when you get to. I mean, because I'm not as much of a hardcore fan of anime as you guys are, but I mean, I absolutely love the idea of getting to experience one of these in the theater.
Well, I'm not even as big a fan of it as Dave is, mm-hmm. but I've really come to appreciate it.
I get you there, don't worry.
As a fan of animation,
it's the stories. Because I mean, it's like pure art houses that come up with these stories and do them. You know, and the stories are so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always get so much more out of books than movies, except anime seems to me to combine the two. Playtime is over.
Ages are represented in these shorts in kind of a odd way.
Yeah.
It seems. very otherworldly. I was expecting to see the castle with a little na 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 na. Never mind. Well, let's leave that out.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should probably going to be in good there, sorry.
It's like
down. That'll do it.
It was all a dream. You were there, and you were there. And Toto, too.
Wizard of Oz.
What?
How many beers did you have before you did it?
That's an excellent question.
Just three.
And how much did you smoke exactly before you decided to...
I wasn't saying that I smoked anything before. I was saying the girl smoked before she... Never mind. You know what? I'm just not going to talk anymore. Unless I come up with something really ridiculous to say.
Oh, that reminds me of Sewer Experience Lane right now. Another great anime.
And next we have...
Detective Story.
Oh, yeah. I remember really liking this one.
Beautiful. Great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another one by
Black and White. I mean, already you're rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Already you're rolling.
Another one written and directed by Watanabe. He of Cowboy Bebop fame. And you can really see the Cowboy Bebop style in this one.
Influence, yeah.
Both in the use of the music and the visuals and... Although, I don't think they've ever done Cowboy Bebop in black and white, did they?
No.
It should have.
Mm.
Just one. I love the throwback to film noir.
Mm.
I mean, it's just like a Sam Spade.
I mean, the dialogue.
I mean, it's completely out of the Maltese Falcon or the Big Sleep.
Mm.
I mean, if this were live action, it'd be Humphrey Bogart and
damn, but it shouldn't be that story.
Just
as sprinkle.
And you have more Alice in Wonderland references, which I really got sick of.
My woman didn't do the music for this, though, right?
Hmm?
Yep, Katana. She didn't do the music.
Who did this track? This is Leo and Bushwaka. Blind Tiger, and then later, I believe...
Bushwaka?
Yeah, Leo and Bushwaka. Blind Tiger.
Am I allowed to laugh at that?
No.
Bushwaka.
And then later, I think they've got Supreme Beings of Leisure Under the Gun.
So authentic. It's not even funny.
Yeah. I like the use of color when they do use it.
Mm-hmm.
that's messed up.
What do you suppose that? What do you suppose he painted that with?
It'd say blood, except for the fact that he'd be dead if he did that.
Mm-hmm. He'd give it to somebody else. Yeah.
This is very Minority Report-ish, almost.
Well, it's film noir.
Yeah.
I mean, it's film noir.
Well, that's what Minority Report was, though. It was futuristic, you know, film noir.
Yeah, but this is more old-fashioned.
Right.
Film noir. I mean, this is...
I mean, kind of like Bebop in and of itself is a little bit film noir,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, this is even more. You know, when I see this, I don't think Minority Report. I think... The Big Sleep, I think.
Yeah.
Maltese Falcons. I mean the classics.
But when you look at when you see the science fiction references, you can't help it.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the man's typing on like a typewriter keyboard, but look at the screens that you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a science fiction element to this, but
I personally can't help but be reminded of Minority Report. That's just probably because I love that movie so much.
Well, also, you're not as familiar with, like, The Big Sleep or Maltese Falcon as I am.
Oh, no, I'm not. Of course I'm not, no.
They seem to use that overhead shot a lot in these Matrix properties, these Matrix stories.
Me of the training sequence in the Cowboy Bebop movie.
Yeah.
And I just had a flash of that.
Mm-hmm.
It also reminds me of, what's that one? Kite. You ever see Kite, Brian?
No, can't say that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really...
Yeah, don't watch it. It's good, but...
And Trinity.
I can't help but wonder whether or not this is before or after all the Neo stuff.
I don't know. It's a good question.
That's pretty messed up right there with the eye.
I would imagine it'd be before. I mean, that's just me. Because I'm sure there would be a reference to Neo if it was.
Mm-hmm.
But... Oh, quit your Alice in Wonderland references. So sick of them. Thank God they got rid of all that stuff for Revolutions and added even more annoying stuff.
I mean, yeah, it's not so bad if they had kind of worked it in there smoothly, you know.
It's just so obvious. Terribly blatant, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
You know,
this is
make
too
the
obvious.
Connection a little more subtle, please.
Right.
I mean...
Exactly. Yeah, a revolver's not going to be used.
Yeah, six shooter, I mean, good lord.
It's classics, but not dead cuts.
I think you need her protection.
Yeah, I was about to say something very similar to that. There's not as much of Cherny's humanity in this sequence as there is in the movies.
No.
They try to convey it, but it's just not as apparent.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she's pretty hardcore until she actually hooks up.
Yeah.
With the man.
But that's...
Yeah. But she's pretty hardcore until she doesn't have.
But, you know, but that's just a testament to Carrie Ann Moss's performance.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. she brought so much humanity to that character.
I mean, if it didn't have her voice right here, it wouldn't even work.
No, know? It wouldn't have. Of a few images from the little promotion that these short subjects got.
Yeah.
Back to the beginning here.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I mean that right there is just Cowboy Bebop screaming right
now.
Oh
yeah,
screaming.
I mean just completely.
Spike Spiegel. I mean, that's screaming it right there. Screaming it.
Okay, enough with the easy stuff. Let's end it on a real mind blower.
This is insane. I mean, I'm down. If you can basically follow it.
Yeah,
but
written and directed by Peter Chung, who's best known for Aeon Flux.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I remember that show. I didn't watch it as much as but yeah, mm-hmm. I do remember that show. That was on MTV, wasn't it?
Yep.
That was about as out there as MTV ever got, I think.
Yeah, that was before they went so commercial. Again, this is something that I really like what they do in sort of introducing a new concept into the world of the Matrix, what's possible and what's, you know, something to explore, and that is, you know, what if we sort of turn the tables?
Mm-hmm.
And what if we could get the machines to work for us?
Right.
Could we really convert them to our side?
Again, another great idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's explored, and you know, I like how they would take one concept and then just explore it. You know, and not try to do four or five concepts at once, but go ahead and just do one and then explore it.
Well, it's one of the advantages of doing it as a short story, too.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the longest one. This is 16, 17 minutes long.
Mm.
But I found that the more I've watched this, the quicker it's actually moved.
Ew.
Machines have to go to the bathroom too. We all do it.
This one's a real head trip as far as the visuals go.
Right.
It's got some pretty crazy stuff going on here.
This one doesn't have a commentary, does it?
No. The only ones that have commentaries are the Second Renaissance 1 and 2 and... Program and World Record.
Hmm.
but all of them have featurettes on the DVD. Including a pretty interesting documentary on the history of anime.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not much. It's like 50 minutes long, but it goes into it.
Did we ever learn the name of the names of those weapons they use? Or what the technology behind them is?
I don't think so.
Or what the technology is behind those weapons? I mean, that's like the only...
I'm sure it's inspired in large part in like the electromagnetic pulse that they use.
Mm-hmm.
You see them using them in the Second Renaissance in some of the fight scenes.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things that was so appealing about the first movie, anyway, is that you don't see the humans, you see the humans using their resources.
Yeah.
You don't see them having every piece of, you don't see them having everything at their disposal. You see them using what they have.
Yeah. That's a good question. I've never really figured that out. Child? I mean...
I hope he's nobody's child.
I hope so either. I hope so as well. Although I could say that about just about most of the human characters in this
one. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, none of them look... Yeah.
What was the name of the character in the original movie who was born in Zion?
Tank. Well, Tank and Dozer.
Yeah.
Were both.
The brothers.
I was wondering, how they would perfect this type of process, because it seems like such a long process to convert.
But I like how they, kind of go through every facet of what makes humans human, sort of the pleasurable things, the emotions and things like that. Obviously, somebody's hooking up over here.
Very Lawnmower Man-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of does look like a monkey, doesn't it? Really?
I'm going to let you guys take this from here.
Doesn't seem like any of us are really prepared to.
I mean, there's
not a whole lot to... What is there to say?
A weird dream sequence.
Yeah, I mean, it's... sort of like, what if Stanley Kubrick, when he made 2001, became an animator?
Right.
I mean, that's basically what this is.
He's really regretting doing that now.
That's really weird. But yeah, I just try to follow, just kind of keep up, They're moving the metal skin, okay, kind of growing him into giving like an organic whatever.
More human characteristics.
How come I'm not allowed to use that word, but you are?
You use it too much. That's the first time I've used organic like that at all.
I've only said it once during this one.
Yeah, but you said it
about 20 times during AI. Sorry, but it's the truth.
Stick with what works.
It must be Tron right there.
Yeah. Kind of a little bit of an electronica version of the opening music to Matrix there.
Yeah.
High score.
A little bit of a Tron super.
I'm lost.
I mean, okay. that was transition.
I don't get it.
Like a video game, humans having fun thing. Okay,
yeah.
Now we're going to, here we're transitioning. What's this next one? I mean, you can almost keep up, but then.
Yeah, it's very hard to do on this one.
Then, I mean, how do you live? But, you know, if you were asked to explain it overall.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
it's very hard to do. Like,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, it's kind of like how you used, because, you know, this is the last 20 or so minutes of the Animatrix. It's kind of very similar to how you, Dave, have always told me, if I ever want to see Akira, never to come into it, like, in the last 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, for some reason...
Yeah, well, I could attest to that, too.
For some reason, you know, the last half an hour or so of an anime... Of an
Not anime. Necessarily all anime, just Akira in particular,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is kind of... What the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this...
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what to make of this. I mean...
Totally lost.
You could say it's like, you know, the humans or... giving the machine a glimpse as to what they think humans are, how they are, and then showing them, you know, how humans really are, the kindness, the humanity, for lack of a better term. I mean, I think that's one way you could go on here, and showing them that...
The joys of smoking crack... I'm making one too many drug references here.
Yeah, you really are. It's quite troubling. But, yeah, I mean, that's about the best I can think of as far as...
I'm still working on what we're looking at right now.
Sequence. I mean, that's the best I can think of. I mean, the idea of laying the machine, you know, going with what, starting the machine out as it's been programmed to believe humans are, which is an enemy, and then showing them, well, this side that makes them human, the kindness, the generosity, and the helpfulness.
The pot smoking.
Again, one too many drug references, Ron.
James fighting for
him. I like the way the Sentinels look in this.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as...
That's pretty darn close to the way they are.
Yeah. I was about to say, as far as the ones that look most authentic, I mean, those they always look pretty close to the way they are in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, here it's pretty obvious what this is. I mean, you know, is he going to help him? Isn't he going to help him? Did their experiment work and all that stuff?
Right.
And find out it did work, but he realized he came in a bit too late.
Yeah, exactly. To get her to take him back to that world, you know, whatever, but
it's
actually quite powerful.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, you know, this the ending to this is surprisingly poignant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tries to help her to bring her back, and she thinks the worst, and she basically rejects whatever help he may have been able to present.
The only short subject that presents the idea that machines are able to enter the Matrix as well.
Yeah.
Interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is more of a man-made Matrix.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't the one the machines made. This is something that humans made in order to convert them. And here the sequence of the Sentinel on the lookout.
Yeah, my brain is fried. My brain is fried.
I mean, that's it. I mean, you know.
That's deep right there.
Yeah.
Deep.
Unfortunately, we probably couldn't have talked as much as we might have been able to, but I know it's been a while since I've seen most of these.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Sure. Yeah, same with all of us.
But it was good that we were able to come at it from a fresh perspective, though. I like that.
Closing statements?
Closing statements.
This is my, like I said before, this is my favorite. This is my favorite project involved with The Matrix. That includes all three of the movies. I love the fact that they explore things that maybe weren't as well explored during the movies. I like the fact that it really was more thought-provoking. I've thought about these more than I ever have any of the movies. I mean, the movies have some merit, but they really do. But this is something that this shows what the Matrix what the movies really could have been if they were a bit more daring.
Mm.
Overall, I love each and every one of these in a different way, but overall, I do really enjoy watching all of them. So that's it with me, Ron.
I mean, again, I'm glad I'm able to experience these, you know, whenever I get the chance. I mean, I don't go out looking for. I don't go out looking for anime like I know Dave does. You know, I don't go out. I don't. That's not the first section I go to when I go to when I go out to buy movies or whatever. You know, it's. I mean, but you know, when it's presented there for me, I take advantage of the opportunity just because. I mean, I know I'm going to walk away with it. I'm going to walk away from it with, you know, a totally new, you know, perspective on the concept of anime. And I mean, I'm just always appreciative of any time, you know, Brian's able to find a movie theater art house where, you know, something like this is playing, or, you know, or we're just able to sit down and talk about it like this, just because, I mean, I'm obviously not gonna look for this on my own. I'm not gonna try to understand this on my own, just because I know I wouldn't even be able to come close to doing anything like that. So, you know, just, and I agree with what Brian says. I'm definitely able to appreciate, you know, the fact that, you know, these shorts go where the movies wouldn't dare. And you know, and it's a totally exciting concept, and you know, I'm totally able to appreciate the fact that, you know, more mainstream movies are going in this direction of, you know, releasing short subjects on the internet or as short subjects before movies. You know, we're seeing that now with the Clone Wars. And, you know, that's just as interesting and compelling, and I'm able to appreciate that just as much. And I don't know, I'm excited by the idea of it all. Dave?
That was deep, man. Yeah, I mean, for me, this just kind of proves the point that, you know, perhaps the movies should have been an anime. I think they may have focused too much on the action portion of it. You know, I mean, both those guys like action, you know, but maybe they focus too much on that, and, you know, sort of the subject matter and the way that they can present the subject matter may have meant that, you know, the movies probably should have been animated. And I think that the way you see the first movie kind of just hints at where the movies could have gone, you know, if they had started exploring some of the subjects that you see being explored in here. You know, I mean, overall, I really like this, and, you know, I would like to see some of these expanded, maybe, or just more shorts on the Matrix world, because I think it's a pretty rich world that they only hinted at the surface at in the movies. So, that's it.
Okay.
And scene.
Well, that's it for me. I'm Brian Scuttle.
I would be Ronnie Haynes.
And Dave.
This is Yahoo's with Microphone. Good night.